In Psalm 119, and have been for some time now, and we left off last week with the 96th verse, and so we'll do as we've been doing. We'll start with verse number 97, and I'm going to ask you, each one of you, just to take a verse, and as we're reading here, you read that verse, and if you feel like you know what it says, why, just raise your hand, and I'll identify you. You can stand, read the verse out loud. And then tell us what that verse means. And then we may want to comment on it. Somebody else may want to add something to it. Let's remember two things now as we study here. One is that the entire 119th Psalm is a treatise on the Word of God. And most every verse in this Psalm describes some quality of the Word of God. And when we see the word law, precepts, statutes, testimonies, judgments, and that sort of thing, those are synonyms for the Word of God. Let's remember the second thing is that the psalm was written by David, and it was written surrounding his experience, a good part of it, surrounds his experience of very much persecution. And he talks about being in affliction and being in persecution where others have really gotten on his case. And his anchor is the Word of God when he's in, when his flesh has come under attack. And he's miserable in the natural, but in the spirit he's strong because he's dependent upon and anchored in the Word of God. And so that will help us to understand better some of these verses. All right, somebody take the 97th, Ron.
Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I think it's very interesting here that the word love comes before the word I. It reminds me of because Jesus loved me first, then I could love him. And that's that. The King's English is sometimes very interesting.
Yes. Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that verse? Joe?
To me, it means that he loves God and he loves his ways and that he's not moved by his circumstances. He's going to meditate on the promises of God. And even though everything around him seems to be going the wrong way, that it's his law, God's law that he loves, and he knows that that will bring his answer, that He's not cast down, but he's built up because he loves the law of God.
Okay. Anybody else? Don?
This brings out what I was thinking last Sunday. How much he loves God's Word and lives it. But last Sunday I was thinking how much more he could love if he had the fullness of what we have today. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it was limited at that point in time where we have the fullness.
Yes, yes. David would have the five books of Moses, which would be primarily his, that's his Bible. The first five books of the Bible, that's it.
God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you something here. If a person loves God, he will also love the Word of God. The people, let's think about this in the natural. Think about the person whom you love the most. An individual that you love the most. Your husband, your wife, someone who's very close to you. Don't you love to hear them talk? Don't you love to be with them? Huh? Isn't that the way it is? When you love God, you love to hear him talk. You want his word. And something else that I find about Christians is the ones who have the deepest love for God are the ones that spend the most time in here. Because this is where you get to know him. This is where his revelation is, right here. If you want to know God, not about God, but if you want to know him, you're going to find him in here. And David said, I love the word of God, which tells us about his heart. He was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. Now, we talked last week about those believers who have a little snack once or twice a week in the Word of God. Did David snack every Sunday morning? What did David do? His meditation was all the day. Every day, all day, his thoughts were centered upon God. Does that mean that he never thought about anything else, and that when he sat down to eat dinner and he was cutting his meat and so on, he was thinking about God? No, it doesn't mean that. He obviously he's got to go through his daily activities the same as you do and the same as I do, but his attention was directed towards God all the time. God was the focus of his life. The meditation of the Word of God was his primary focus. He was thinking about the things of God all the time. And as he would read the law, and he'd see something in there, and he'd think about that, and he would mull that over. The word meditation in the Hebrew literally means to mull over or to mutter over. You ever seen somebody walk around, somebody who's at work, and they're kind of muttering to themselves, just kind of, or maybe singing to themselves, and somehow they're, you know, and you may think they're crazy. Well, that's meditation, taking the Word of God. God said to Joshua in the first chapter of Joshua, the 8th verse, he said, "This law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and you shall have it day and night there. Then you will find good success." Isn't that right? You remember that scripture? Meditate on it day and night. And David did that. David's meditation all the time was on the law, on the Word of God. And it caused him to love the Lord, and it caused him also to have a fruitful and a successful life. And that's precisely the reason why so many believers today have such little strength and such little faith and such little love for God, because we spend so little time in the Word of God. All right, verse 98. Someone take that one. Dan?
"Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they are ever with me." I think he's saying here that the commandments of God, he's received the wisdom of God through these commandments, although his enemies are all around him. And he has this wisdom of God while he's one step ahead of them.
Okay, all right. The wisdom to live comes from God's Word. It doesn't come from men's opinions. Now, I want you to think about this a little different way. Let's take this just a little, put a little twist in this. Where it says, "For they are ever with me," it doesn't identify who the they are. And the they could be enemies, but the they could also be what? The commandments of God. And so it is true that the enemies are always with us, but because of the verse just before it, "My meditation all the day," it's very possible that he's talking here about the law of God is always with him too, the commandments of the Lord. That's why he has wisdom, because the Word of God is not something that's just in a book, but it's something that's in him and is with him all the time. And no matter what his enemies do to him, he is wiser than they, because the Word of God's alive. Okay?
There's a footnote in my Bible that says, "It is ever with me." So that would indicate that you're...
The law of God, the commandments of God. Uh-huh. That's what struck me when I was reading it. Okay, let's go on to 99. This is a good one. Yes.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Well, no, it hasn't been that long, it's a blank. I'm embarrassed.
Ronnie Brock.
I know it's Brock. Yes, Ronnie. Okay, Ronnie.
So I have to read
you.
Stand
to your feet.
I have more.
No. Stand to your feet now, just because I couldn't remember your first name.
"Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for the..." Now, I'm sorry, I read the wrong one. "I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." And the wisdom in the Word of God gives you far more wisdom than man can. God is so far above his teachers that he doesn't need them anymore. All he needs is the Word of God.
Amen. Did anybody see in the Atlanta paper Saturday, I think, on the editorial page, not the Scrawls cartoon, but the one that's on the right-hand page? I don't know where that comes from, but I clipped it out. And did anybody see the one I'm talking about? Chris is nodding his head. It was a picture of a fat, sloppy guy in front of an empty bookcase. And the bookcase covered the whole picture, but there wasn't a book on it. And the man was standing, this fat, sloppy guy, now I was standing there kind of like this, and he had a Bible in his hand. You could see the Bible, it had a cross on it. And he's standing here like this in front of the bookcase, and the caption is, "The Moral Majority Library." Did you see that? And of course, the inference is the world sees the Christian as empty-headed, uneducated, and without anything except his Bible. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. But that's the understanding of the world. If you don't have a library full of books, then you don't have any education, you don't have any, you're mindless. And this all fell had was his Bible. Joe?
I have to share this. This came from my, when I was working on my master's, I got born again filled with the Holy Ghost. And I mean, I was so bold and so zealous for the Lord, I would have done anything. And I remember I was taking a psychology course that quarter. And this verse really ministers to me because I had more understanding than my teachers, and they could not refute what I would quote to them. And they would say, well, all you ever quote is the Bible. And they just could not receive the wisdom of the Lord because it was so simple. And theirs was so, quote, high and intellectual. And I just blessed God that he's just ministering that back to me. I just stood up every class and would quote the Word of God, and people would just sit there, you know, and they go, oh, there she goes again. But I would write it on my papers and hand it in. And Edie shared the other night about how she taking a course and handed in a paper, and she thought a teacher would be mad, but they can't refute it. It's like the knowledge is above them, and they can't refute it. All they get mad is because it's the Bible.
Look at Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10. Read it with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of God is understanding. The better we know God, the better understanding we have about things here. And now look at Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Read this one with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Reverence for God is the beginning of knowledge. A person who has no reverence for the Word of God has no reverence for God. A man who could draw that kind of a cartoon, an editorial cartoon, has no reverence for God because he has no respect for the Word of God. The reverence of God is the beginning of knowledge. But he and others like him, unfortunately, demonstrate their own ignorance and demonstrate their own lack of knowledge. A fool despises instruction. A fool. And who was it that said something like this? I thought he was a fool, and then he opened up his mouth and confirmed it. That's what happened here.
I think I like the 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and about the 7th verse, where it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
We're talking about the perilous times. And
yes.
It describes to a T the situation that the world's in today. And it just came to me, and that's something.
The most marvelous thing that God's Spirit is doing is, as the Spirit of God is poured out upon the world, upon all flesh, I think the most marvelous thing that's happening is not that people are beginning to speak in tongues and miracles are beginning to take place in with much greater frequency than ever before. I believe the most important thing that has happened with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the hunger and the desire that Christians now have for the Word of God like they haven't had it for years and years and years. And for the way the Word of God is going forth, I think that is the single most important thing that has happened in the charismatic renewal. Someone over here, Robert.
I have a poster that expresses like what John was talking about with her teacher. It shows a classroom door, and the door is cracked open, and it says evolutionary science or something on the door. And the professor, there's this guy standing there, and he's teaching. And then the scripture on the bottom is Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
They became fools.
Yeah.
Someone else,
Marianne?
Yeah, I have a note in my Bible. You might have said this. I don't know if that's why I wrote it down here, but it says, we're smarter than the devil.
Amen. Amen. We sure are. Now, the understanding that we have that is greater than our teachers is not because we are Christians. Why do we have understanding greater than our teachers? Because of what?
The Word.
Not because of the Word.
I love it.
because of the study of the Word and the love of the Word, and that we meditate in the Word. This Word laying on your coffee table won't do you a bit of good, and you can be born again and filled with the Spirit of God and have your Bible closed in your, on your bedroom night table or on your coffee table at home, and you won't be wiser than your teachers. It's the meditation in the Word that brings that. Remember what we said, the fear of the Lord is the what? The end of knowledge?
Amen.
The beginning of knowledge. Reverence for God and knowing God is the beginning of knowledge. And it's increased and developed. We must take advantage of what God has given us and develop it. David said, I have more understanding than all of my teachers for or because thy precepts or thy testimonies are my meditation. I love your Word. I meditate in your Word. That's what makes me wise. All right? Next verse. This is a good one, too. They're all good. Ron?
I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. To me, the word ancients reminds me of Adam and Eve, who were in God's paradise, and they had his commandments, and they rejected them for the devil's lie and brought all the sin upon the earth. And he says, I'm smarter than they are, and I understand more than they do because I keep your precepts.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have a comment, Steve? Or were you going to take
it? Yeah. Even a young, someone who's young in the Lord can have more knowledge than an older person, a 70 or 80 year old person. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise you for your youth.
Yes.
He's saying, you know the Lord.
Okay.
Walk boldly in that.
I have more understanding than my elders, in other words. Why? Because what? Because I keep thy precepts. Now give me another scripture from the lips of Jesus concerning that subject. Think. All right, that's one. That's one out of John. There's one in Matthew I'm thinking about, Ronnie. See, there I got it, didn't I?
Whatsoever I see my Father do, I do also.
Well, that's not what I was thinking of. What I was thinking of is in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Turn over there to the 7th chapter of Matthew. And look at verse 24 and 5. Read these two verses aloud with me, please. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, why did this man's life succeed? Because what? Founded upon the rock. And how was his life founded on the rock? He was a doer of the Word. David said, now this is important, the reason that I understand the things of God is that I am a doer of the Word of God. Now I know a lot of people, and so do you. Some of you came out of churches that were like this, where they read the Bible, but it had no life in it. The people didn't understand what they were reading because they didn't do what the Bible said do. Reading this Word will not get the job done for you if you only read it and take it intellectually. It must become a part of our life, and we must do it. Now, let me give you a simple example. The Scripture says, he that believeth on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Now, I know lots of folks, and so do you, and I was one of them for a great many years, who knew that scripture and could quote that scripture, and I could tell you all about it, but I hadn't done it, and I did not understand the things of God, even though I knew that scripture and many other scriptures I knew. But I didn't have an understanding, and I could not declare, I have more understanding than my elders. I have more understanding than my teachers. I couldn't say that. I had intellectual knowledge, but I did not have understanding because as yet I had not done it. Now, there are a great many in our churches who have understood that part and have done it and have taken Jesus Christ as Lord, have called upon the name of Jesus, received him as Savior and made him the Lord of their life, put him on the throne of their lives. and have become Christians, born again, brand new creations, old things passed away, and so on. And now they come to the passage that says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, so much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. But yet we will not ask him. In other words, we will not be doers of that word. We read in Acts 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, we know that, but we won't do it. And therefore, it limits our understanding. We do not have the understanding until we become doers of the word. Knowing the word is not what produces the understanding. Doing it produces the understanding. I wish I could say that in a way that would more satisfy my spirit. Gay? Right, right. Hearing it only and not doing it. And we think we know, but we don't really know. In John, I think it maybe was last week. Did we look at John 7, 17 last week? Did we look there? Let's do so again. It won't hurt us to look there again. John 7, 17. Very important verse of Scripture. This is why sometimes, not sometimes, very many times, you, as a Spirit-filled doer of the Word of God, you have understanding that is far past your years. And you try to share with your parents, you try to share with your family, you try to share with your co-workers, you try to share with people that you have had spiritual fellowship with in the past, and you can't seem to get through to them. You have an understanding, but you can't seem to communicate it to them. They don't pick up on what you're trying to get at. They can't understand it. They can't comprehend it. It's life to you, but it's gibberish to them. And it's a very frustrating, gosh, it's frustrating, because you want to minister life to these folks that you care about so very much, but they don't understand it. And the reason that they don't understand it is that they are not doers of the word. Doing the word makes a person open to understand. And refusing to do the word just puts a ceiling on that understanding. Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, was teaching in the temple, and the Jews, in verse number 15, marveled, saying, now these are religious people, people who should have known God, but didn't, because they were in their tradition, in their religious tradition. And they marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How does he understand so much? He's never been to any of our schools. He's never been to our seminaries. He's never been in our Sunday school classes. He's never listened to our teaching. He's never had us instruct him. How does he know so much? Now, they could see that he had knowledge and he had understanding, but they couldn't comprehend why. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. In other words, I'm not speaking of myself, but God the Father who sent me, this is his word that I'm giving you. Now the next verse is critical. If any man will do his will, if any man will be a doer of the will and the word of God, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak it of myself. And this is what he's saying. If any man will be a doer of the word of God that he has already heard, if he will act upon what he already knows, then he will be able to understand the new word that's coming. And he'll be able to discern whether it's really of God or whether it's of man. You understand the significance there? Our churches are, for the most part, like here when God has already established this. Because so many of us would prefer to operate on the traditions of our elders rather than the pure and simple word of God. David said, I have very much understanding because I'm a doer of the word of God. Doing the word. That's what that whole verse is about. All right? Let's go on then to the next verse, which is verse number 101. Okay, Anita?
I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have stopped walking in the ways of the world. I have stopped. If anything that I know is a sin, evil way, I just don't do it so that I can walk the way of my Lord and Savior.
Okay.
And I want to live like Jesus.
Okay, amen. Very good. You can't serve two masters, can you? You can't be a doer of the word of God and also indulge in every evil way. David said, the most important thing in my life is to do God's word. That's what I want to do above everything else. And I will not allow myself to engage in evil. I have refrained my feet. I didn't ask God to do it. I made a decision to stop doing those things that were against the will of God. I made a decision to do that. It's not God's responsibility, it's mine. I refrained my feet so that I might keep thy word. Now, what this boils down to is this, beloved. David said, I love my God so much, and I love his word so much, that I will deny myself anything that prevents me from doing his word. You see that? That's love. That's love of God.
Okay. Yes? You were talking about keeping God's word and his precepts. This thing, the Lord's really ministering to me just through this lesson today, and I just feel led to share this. Sometimes we wonder if we're being too bold or something, but I just see the wisdom that the Lord has given me with this one particular professor. And he was teaching classroom management and how to discipline your children. And you ignore the bad behavior, reinforce the good, you never punish. And I would take my Bible while he'd be talking, and I wasn't doing it to be mean to him. I had it on my lap, and I'd be down there flipping through it, and I'd find a scripture, you know, and then he knew that I was sitting there reading that, and it would just bother him. And he'd say, okay, John, what have you got now in your Bible? And I would stand up and begin just to read the word, you know, chasing your child and discipline while they're young, so when they grow up, they'll know the way to go in. And I'd just read one scripture after another, and he just began to listen. And then after about 3 weeks, it was bothering him. I mean, I had my Bible on my lap, and he would know that it wasn't right what he was teaching, and he'd call on me. He'd ask for it. So after class, he asked me, he said, could you stay for a minute? He said, you know, I went to the seminary 4 years, and I studied this word day and night. And he said, don't you think I understand it more than you do? And I said, are you born again? He said, what? I said, well, if you really love the Lord, you're born again, you understand the word. You can meditate in it day and night with your mind, but if you don't know it in your heart, you don't understand it, and that's why you don't understand it, because you're not born again. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he said, that's putting judgment on my heart. And I said, no, you judge your own heart. I'm just giving you the word of God. I don't know what he did with that, but I know that when we speak with the truth, that it cuts through all the garbage. And that's all we have to do is just keep speaking it and keep speaking it and keep the word.
Something that we need to get a hold of as Christians is sometimes Christians, I guess a high percentage of the time, Christians are intimidated by the degrees and so on that come behind people's names. Oftentimes, believers, you know, you don't have the credentials. Let's say you don't have the credentials that the world gives, and you don't have a bunch of initials behind your name. Maybe you didn't even finish high school. I know some folks in this congregation who have not finished high school, but I tell you, they have more understanding than a great many people I know that have a string of letters behind their names. And as Christians, We need to get a hold of the fact that when we know God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And no matter how many letters a person has behind his name, if he doesn't know God, he hasn't even begun to accumulate knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, he has begun to accumulate information, and he may have more information in him than you do or than I do, but he has not begun to get any knowledge. Until you know God, you don't begin to learn. You accumulate data, but you don't learn. Do you understand the difference, what I'm talking about here? And so as believers, I think we ought to be encouraged by what David is saying here, that when we know the Lord and when we meditate in his word, that we have very much more understanding than most of the people whom we come in contact with. All right? Let's, we're making tremendous headway this morning. Are we learning anything, though? Well, that's good. All right, somebody take 102. Somebody who hasn't had one yet. All right, Gabe.
Can I do those two together? Because to me, they fit together.
Okay.
I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. And the next one's, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. To me, this is like we put the word in and God teaches us the word, and it goes into our spirit. And then later on, it's still sweet to us, like when you eat something good and you remember it, and it's still sweet there. And I've been thinking the whole time we've been discussing this, the sweetness of the meditation of the word. It thrills me when I'm mopping my floor for God to bring me a word that has been stored in my heart a long time ago, and he brings it to my remembrance, and it's just as sweet or sweeter, you know, than it was when I first learned it. So to me, those two scriptures go together.
Okay. All right. Don?
Kind of thinking along the lines of education, you're talking about knowledge, knowing the world of things and having a string of letters behind your name. To me, people can not even know how to read yet, but can hear from God. They have given themselves to God to the point where God leads their lives. And then how sweet it is when they learn to read God's word, and they get to that point where they run across what God has already poured into their heart, and they can verify what he has said in their lives through the word.
Turn with me over to the book of Acts just a moment, to the fourth chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 4. This has always been a great encouragement to me, perhaps will be to you as well. And it speaks to this, to our topic this morning. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13, and then put them in the hold. And in verse 13, they were examining them. And it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, now what did Peter and John do for a living? They were fishermen. What college did they go to?
Or not.
Someone said Hard Knocks, somebody said Experience, and somebody said Holy Spirit. Now, all true. But now, are any of those accredited?
Not by man.
Not by man. But they sure are ordained of God, aren't they? All of them are. They were fishermen. They had not been to any of the leading schools. They didn't have any degrees. Not one. They didn't have any letters behind their names. They were dumb bunnies, according to the world. But when they saw their boldness, why were they bold? Because they knew what they were talking about. They had understanding greater than their teachers. They had understanding greater than their elders. They had refrained their feet from evil ways, and they had been doers of the word of God. And they had assurance and confidence within, not here, but here. And they were bold to speak what they knew by experience was true. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Thank God for unlearned and ignorant men.
Amen.
They marveled, and they took knowledge of them. What did they notice about them? That they had been with Jesus. Now here were all these big muckety-mucks, you see, big guys in the church of that day. And they noticed these dumb fishermen who had no knowledge of man's ways because they were uneducated. But they had been with Jesus. Now how can we be with Jesus today? By being in his word. We can know him personally. That's the beginning of knowledge. And we can spend time with him by spending time in his word, knowing him. And do you know what will happen to you? The very same thing that happened here to these men. It will produce boldness, and it will cause people to recognize that while you're unlearned and ignorant, perhaps according to their standards, that you have knowledge beyond your experience, beyond your exposure, and beyond your years. I had a hand over here, and I wanted to catch it before we go.
An experience that I had, the Lord
quickly
put me with a driver I've been very good close friend with for several years, and he and I both came back to the Lord at approximately 9 times. And he was Catholic. And we would discuss the Lord, and something would come up, and I would read him the word. And he said, No,
that's too short, dry, whatever, you know. There's rules or different individuals. You got to, and this, that, and the other. And at any rate, I keep handing him the word, This went on for several weeks, and he's getting very frustrated. You know, he can't accept it, and I don't understand it. I know the Lord's got it together for some reason. And finally, one day, we were coming back in from Utah, and we were discussing some particular point, and I read him the word again, and he just blew up. He said, take the Bible, well, never mind what he said. And went back in the sleeper and said, we're no longer going to ride together. And he lay back there about 30 minutes, and he come crawling back out, and he said, you know, the Lord just told me what this is all about. He had been sitting under a teaching of a so-called intellectual who was telling him that the Word of God was a lie. And therefore, he had laid the Word of God down, because this guy had all these letters behind his name, and he was just a high school, and, you know, graduate.
There's nothing wrong with letters behind name. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But that is not a substitute for knowledge. It is not a substitute for understanding. The last verse in this little segment here says, through thy precepts I get understanding. And there is no understanding apart from the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that what we do here, whatever else we do, we've got to put forth the Word of God. When we stop putting forth the Word of God, we have stopped doing what God called us to do. We've stopped being really a church in the true sense of the word. Well, let's close there. And Paul will be back next week, and he'll be over in 2 Corinthians once again, picking up his regular study.